Session number 27345, Reel 1.
So, Chilton, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, please?
I was born in Strood on a barge in Church Path.
And when was that?
14th of January 1921.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a blacksmith. He was the head hammerman in the Woolwich Arsenal, and when they made the first 14-inch guns for the King George V, he was the one that hammered out the barrels.
Did he work there for a long time?
He worked all about 25 years. He could, there's a little point, he could crack an egg on that. He used to use a steam hammer as well, and he could fetch the hammer down and rest it on an egg without cracking it on the anvil. That's how good he was. Head hammerman.
Had he worked his way up in the arsenal from a number of
different
jobs?
No, he'd done blacksmithing all the time and hammerman, and he finally clued up in Woolwich Arsenal.
So how come you were born where you were born?
My mother and my dad, they were living in Strood. And my grandfather was the captain of a barge. And he used to ply from Strood to up north. Back and forth, back and forth. One Sunday afternoon, my mother decided to go and see her dad, my granddad. And I decided to come instead. And so there was panic stations. So I was born on a barge. And I believe it was about 3:30 in the afternoon.
What did your mother do for a living, or was she just at home?
She was a cook. She was a cook. And she worked for various establishments and so forth as a cook.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I did have a sister. I did have a brother. I never saw my brother because he died before I was born. But my sister was older than me, 7 years older than me. But she's gone now, God bless her. And she muddled cotton me.
Where was the family home?
The main home was in Rochester Way, just about 2-3 miles from here. 403 Rochester Way, Eltham, SE9. And another little point, if you want to know, is that we did live in New Eltham at the time in rooms. Then we find my mother and father finally got the house in Rochester Way. And when they moved, I was sitting on the back in an armchair, tied. The armchair was on the back of the moving van, and they tied me in the armchair. And that's where I moved from New Eltham to Rochester Way. And I was sitting at the back, tied in, couldn't move. And I was 5.
What was it like growing up in the area during the 1920s and 30s?
I found it very good. I had quite a lot of friends. I went to church and Sunday school. And we used to go cycling quite a lot. And we did quite a lot of cycling too, down to All Hallows and places I know. Because you did used to, when you used to go on a cycle ride, you used to do a cycle ride. You'd cycle to Rootham and places I know.
Was it a popular hobby?
Yes.
Lots of people?
Yes, there used to be. Sometimes there used to be about 25 of us cycling, taking your food and drinks and so forth. I had an enjoyable teenage life.
What about your education?
I went to Henwick Road School, which is just over the back of Rochester Way. And I got to the first class, but I didn't go any higher, unfortunately. But I've made up for it since.
Did you have any favourite kind of subjects while you were at school?
I used to like arithmetic. Very fond of arithmetic, maths. I have taken a course of maths quite a long, long time ago when my daughters were home. I took it for their benefit and also for my own. It's a long, long time ago now, though. Because my eldest daughter is now an old age pensioner.
And what about sport? Do you play any sport?
I used to play football. I used to play cricket. But a lot of the sport was cycling.
As I asked you about the area, what type of people lived in the area? What was it like in those days?
Well, there was all pretty well the same, just ordinary working people, and very, very friendly. You never had to lock your back doors or your front doors, and if anybody was in trouble, all the neighbours were there for you all the time. And my next door neighbour, Mrs. Gosman, her son, he was in the Navy. He was older than me, he was 2 years older than me. And he went into the submarine services, and unfortunately he never came back. And afterwards, his mother, Mrs. Gosman, because my mum used to cook for her as well, because she was a working lady, and my mum used to get food ready for her and all that sort of thing. She used to come, when she used to see me, she always used to cuddle me. And she was a very big woman. Used to press the life out of me at times, I tell you. But I stood in for her son while I was in the uniform.
You said your mum was a cook, so how did the family eat? Did you eat well?
We ate very, very well indeed. And that's the part that I didn't like very much, because I had to go every Friday afternoon to the co-op and pick up my mother's shopping in a barrel. Because she would put the shopping list in on the Thursday, and I had to go and collect it on the Friday. And that was a job I never used to like. I don't know why, but pushing this four-wheel barrel, you know, and it was all the food was in there. I don't know why. I think it was possibly because I had to come from the co-op in Wellhall Road. It was up a hill. It went up the hill, and I think it was the pushing up that hill I didn't like. But once I got over the hill and I passed the church, it was all downhill. So there you are.
And were you a regular church attender then?
I went to Sunday school. And of course, when I got older, I didn't go to church, but I did go to Sunday school till I was 12. I went to church occasionally, but I wasn't a regular one, not at the time.
Did you join any groups at that time?
I joined the Scouts, and I was in the Scouts for about a year and a half. I joined it late, and then I left school when I was 14, and I went to work for Patterson and Edwards, a firm in Lee Green that used to make perambulators and push pipes and things like that. And I was a panel beater. I was in a shop. There was only four. There was the boss and three others. And he taught me quite a lot about panel beating.
What's the skill that you need with panel beating?
You need the skill of eyes, and you need a feel. Because when you beat a piece of steel, you've got to be careful you don't mark the steel. So you have to use a pigskin hammer, which is made up round and round and round, like that. And that is very soft, not like a wooden mallet. And that is how you help to beat it out, with a pigskin mallet.
Did you enjoy the work?
I did. Then I got itchy feet. I applied to join the Navy at the age of 15 and a half. And I was told I was too old to go into boy service. And I had to wait a while. And I finally went in at the age of 17 and a half.
Where had you got your interest in the Navy? Apart from the circumstances, obviously, being born on a boat.
Well, I'd always been interested in the sea. Always. And I always used to be going down to Woolwich Ferry. And I was always going across on the Woolwich Ferry, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I enjoyed it. I don't know why. It just gave me a sense that of openness, I suppose. Because you'd be on the ferry and you'd go outside, not inside, and you'd feel the wind and the breeze on you. And of course, it didn't smell very, very nice, not down there at that time. But I don't know, it just gave me the feeling of an expanse of water. And I thought, well, I don't know, I think I'd like to go on it.
What was the Thames like at that time?
Very, very dirty. Of course, it was very, very busy because great big cargo boats were coming up and down. I mean, she had very, very big cargo boats coming up and down there, all into the Port of London, because that's where a lot of our imports came into London, into the King George V docks. Shows you how many stocks are there. King George V dock. Funny enough, when we was on the destroyer Ivanhoe, we went in there for a refit into King George dock. And I was able to get home nearly every night from there, or when I was on leave. It was good.
So, with your father working at the arsenal, and your interest in that, there was an interest in the Navy there as well?
Well, my father was always interested in it because his brother was had been in the Navy. And he used to tell him tales, and Dad used to tell me tales. But the tales he would not tell me about was when he was in the trenches. He would not speak about it. He used to say it was tough, son. But he had across the bridge of his nose, he had a little black spot about a quarter of an inch long and about a 16th of an inch wide. It was a bit of shrapnel that had gone into his nose and lodged, and they refused to take it out. And he carried that till he died.
Was there a feeling amongst a lot of the adults at that time about the First World War not to speak of it? Or was it just individuals more like your father?
Well, I think it was individuals because apparently what they went through, and of course also what I've read about, I think was... Well, I don't think I could have ever done it. I don't know really, but what they really went through, I was just been reading about what they were doing to that... battlefield, I think it's in Mons somewhere, where they're going to make it into a tip. It was in the paper the other day. And I was reading how those men used to wait to go over the top, have a cigarette, and they when the whistle blew, they just go over, and there was just cannon fodder. It was just literally mowed down. You didn't stand an earthly, in my estimation.
How much would you say your father saying it was tough might have influenced your choice of the Navy as a service?
Could have been, because I suppose like everybody when you were a teenager, you think, oh, well, I'm going to be a sailor sort of thing, and that's what you do, you know. You get these ideas in your head. I can tell you a couple of tales, in actually, later on, of how you feel when you're a teenager.
At that time, how was the Navy looked upon?
Well, it was a very tough job at the time, because it was very, very tough to get in. I had two interviews to get in, and they finally accepted me. I was just, as I say, I was just 17 and a half.
At this period, obviously, when you were thinking of going into the Navy, events were occurring in Europe that would eventually lead to the Second World War. How much knowledge of that at the time would you say you had, of what was going on?
I had quite a bit of knowledge, actually, because my dad and I used to talk about it a lot. And that was when I could finally get him to talk sometimes, not about what he went through, but what happened in the First World War, why they went to war and all this sort of business. And he said that his idea was that we stepped in and to protect people, but we shouldn't have done. We should have held back and seen what really had happened. And that was his view of the Second World War, because he thought it was wrong that we sort of laid on the line about Poland, and if we didn't get an answer by 11 o'clock, we'd be at war. He didn't agree with that. He thought that should have been worked out in a different way. Very canny, my father was. Very, very canny man.
Did you know much about sort of the rise of fascism in Italy and Nazism in Germany?
Oh, yes, I used to read. Yeah, and I used to read quite a lot about the in Germany, about the boys in the black shirts and all this sort of thing. And I often thought to myself, well, I don't think I could have done that. I'm a little bit too much sentimental, I think, to do that sort of thing.
Did you think that a war was coming?
I thought there was going to be one ultimately, but I didn't think it would come as quick as it did. And I was sorry it came as quick as it did, because we were coming really via Bisky on 11 o'clock on that Sunday morning when war was declared, and we was coming home from being abroad from in Malta. We were coming off paying off. We were flying a paying off pennant, and of course the paying off pennant was taken down and we didn't pay off. We arrived in the UK and we was immediately sent to Scapa Flow. And it was cold.
Can I take you back a little bit again?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any sort of manifestation in this area of that sort of politics that were going on in Europe? I'm thinking, you know, the black shirts or the communists. Were they about in this area?
Not that I noticed. No, not that I noticed. No. My friends at... I used to be with, and we used to go cycling and everything, and when I used to come home on half during the war, and because they was, some of those were in the arm, went into the army because they were just right age and everything else, some were in reserved occupation, but no, there was, I don't think there was any nastiness or anything like that in this area concerning the First World War, the Second World War, from people trying to impose their will upon you, no.
So at this point you decided that the Navy was the career for you.
That's
and,
right.
And they turned you down initially.
Yep.
What was the process you went through to get into the Navy? How did that start?
I applied to the Navy and then I went up to Admiralty House. Had an interview and they asked me various questions. Again, why did I want to join the Navy? Was it to see the world? I said, no. I said, I just want to join the Navy and sort of get an occupation. That's just what I was after, an occupation. Because this job that I had, this panel beating, was a dead end. My boss told me this. He said, this job will not last, Tom. He said, we might last another 5 or 6 years. He said, but it won't last. He said, then you'll have to find something else to do. He said, and you've spent a lot of your life training to be a panel beater. He said, it might not be wanted when it closes down. So I was looking forward a little bit, just thinking, well, if I go into the Navy, I could get a career out of it. I wanted to do 12 years at first, but they said no. They would sign me up for 7 and 5. So I did 7 active, 5 on the return. I was a short service sailor, and I can still remember my number. My number was SSX 26280.
At the interview, who was doing the interviewing?
A lieutenant commander. Very nice man. Put me at my ease and everything else. And he said that he asked the questions why and all that, and I told him. I said I was hoping to have a career and I want to sign on for 12 years. Because I had got a lot of information from about the Navy, you see, and also about the Army at the time. I didn't fancy the Army. And I said to him, I want you to make a career. And that was when he said, well, he said, you're too late to do 12 because you should have come in as a boy. He said, when you applied at the age of 15 and a half, he said, you was too old. He said, so now you've got to come in as a short service man on 7 and 5. And that's how I got in on 7 and 5. And he accepted me there and then. He said, well, he said, you're all right. He said, I don't know why they refused it the first time. He said, I have an idea it was your age. He said, but now, he said, you can join. He said, and we'll send for you.
Did you have medical?
Yes.
Where was that?
That was up in Hemble House. And that was a... They were very pleased, first class, no problems. No problems.
Were there anything that they were examining particularly that they wanted? Was it, yeah, I'm thinking of eyesight or hearing, that sort of thing?
Eyesight and hearing was very, very hard. And, of course, your heart and so forth. And your feet. You had to make sure that your feet was all right. Because you had a lot of walking to do.
How long was the wait then when you'd been accepted to actually going for training?
I think I waited about 2 months, that's all. Very, very swift. And they sent for me in 37, I think it was July 37. And I went into Chatham Barracks in 37. And then at the beginning of 38, I went to HMS Ivanhoe.
Well, can we take it back to the arriving at Chatham Barracks? How did you get down there?
I went down by train. I was told what to fetch. Toilet gear, change of clothing and so forth, which you will be kitted out. And so they sent me a railway warrant, and I arrived at Chatham, into Chatham Barracks, accepted into Chatham Barracks.
And what reception did you receive when you got to Chatham?
Very, very good reception. Ticked off, yeah. I'm in there, up yourself to a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. We went into a waiting room where there was tea and coffee. And there was biscuits if you wanted them. And there were so many of us.
Were you all of the same age?
More or less, yes. Some were older than me, but mostly around about my age.
And where did most of the people come from? Was there any specific...
locally. Some were all Kent, like me, London, Surrey. A couple from over the water. The Essex side, but not many. Not many.
And you've been given your cup of tea. What was the next move? What did they do then?
Well, they ticked us off and said, right, you're going to get another medical. They had another medical. And it was a pretty stern one, especially with the teeth. Because I remember I had about five or six visits to the dentist to have fillings. And I can assure you, they weren't gentle. They weren't gentle. And they were, but anyway, that went through that, and then we weren't issued with a kit properly yet. We were still in civvies, and we stayed in the civvies for about a week until we'd done various things. We went swimming, see if we could swim. And it was all marked up, you know, various points were given to us, I understand. I never saw this, but I know that they were ticking off lots of bits and pieces as we were doing things.
How many of the class couldn't swim?
It was only about one or two that couldn't swim. Most of them could swim. And then we went to a class and we had an exam. I don't know how many points I got, but I passed whatever the exam. Just an ordinary intelligence exam. Sums, English and so forth. And then we were told that we were going to be accepted without any problem. And that we would be kitted up and we would go into one of the barracks and we would start training. And that's when we started training.
Did they give you a haircut?
They did. And fortunately enough, I had a very short haircut, so I didn't have to have much of a haircut. Because I didn't... Well, as you can see, I don't grow... I've had this haircut like this... Ever since I was about 15, I think. I've never had any long locks or anything. It's always been short. Short back and sides, hasn't it? Always had short back and sides.
Why didn't they issue you with kit early?
I don't know. I think we had to pass all these other bits and pieces first, these tests. Because I believe there were one or two that I saw when I got there. I didn't see them afterwards. Whether they went into a different place or not, I don't know. And I think possibly... this was how they sort of itemised you and what you was going to be. Were you going to be an ordinary sailor, an ordinary seaman, or a writer, or a cook? And that's how they sort of sifted us out into what branch of the service we were going to be. And I was going to be an ordinary seaman.
What was your accommodation like?
Very good, very good. Could have funny getting in the hammock at first, but it was very good. And the food was great.
So where were you sleeping then? What was the setup for where you were sleeping?
Did you ever see Chatham Barracks? Very, very big blocks. One. Officers, petty officers, chief petty officers and petty officers, ratings, three blocks. And they were very, very big blocks, I might tell you. There's a school over the road there, and they were as big as that. I'll point out the schools here. You can see it across the road, just through the... what's that? And they were very, very big blocks, and they were about four stories. And each one was all laid out into messes. and there was quite a lot of sailors there, because there was men coming in, old sailors, young sailors. And what they did, they put you just in a class. You was put into a class, and then you was told there was your dormitory, or you, that was where your mess was going to be, and that was it. There were messes of about 30, and you were cooked to cover the mess. One day you wash up and you had to go and get the food from the cookhouse. And I think one of the finest things I still think they made the finest thing, was their pea soup. And we used to take the old big fanny to go get this pea soup. And when you went into the cookhouse, there used to be these great big vats. And they had walking space around the outside of these vats, where the chefs were walking around stirring it. And then when you went in, you say, tell them how many in the mess. Out come the ladle, and they ladle. 30? One. About 6 ladlefuls of soup. And you'd have 2 of you to carry the soup back, because the cookhouse was quite a distance. Especially if you was in the end block, you had quite a lot of distance to go to get back to your mess, you see. So, and you could never carry the soup on your own because it was so heavy. And it was beautiful, their pea soup. I've always said this. Lovely.
What other food did you get?
We used to get pot mess, what they used to call a pot mess. It used to be everything in there. Carrots. Oh, tomatoes, beans, the lot. And then you'd get your dumpling on the top.
Yeah.
And then you would get roast beef. Chops. Pork chops. All that sort of stuff. Pie, shepherd's pie, and all that. Whacking great big dish, right now. Shepherd's pie, and sectioned off for 12, and that's how you dished it out. Then there'd be all the vegetables, the potatoes, greens, and all that. Carrots. Oh no, he was well fed, there was no doubt about that.
You were used to good food, obviously, because of what your mother did.
Yes, yes.
But was that the same for all of your class? Are they all?
Oh no, some of them were. Never had food so good as that. They had the food, but not so good. And but you could see them blossom out after a while, because they were getting the good food down them, you see. But I was a little shrimp, actually. I wasn't very big. I think I only just passed the height test, actually. Then all of a sudden I shot right up.
How would you keep the mess clean?
Scrub. Table. White table. Wooden table. And stools. And you get your bucket. It'd be 2 of you. And you'd scrub that table. And then you'd mop over the floor and squeegee the floor. Because it was all caucusing. On the floor it was all caucusing. And you'd squeegee it off.
Where would you wash your utensils?
Showers was all in the same place, all on the same level. Showers on every, showers, toilets and everything, on every floor. You didn't have far to go.
You mentioned also in there that you were sleeping in a hammock.
I was.
Where were they, how were you arranging that in the mess? How did that work?
Well, when you went into the mess at first, you had a leading seaman in charge of you, who looked after the mess and everything else. And he showed us how to do it, and there was bars running all the way down the whole of the barracks, steel bars. And they used to cross one another, bar there, bar there, bar there, so that you would hang one hammock there, then you would hang another one there. So it used to be one there, then one like that, and so it used to go on all the way down.
So they would almost overlap.
That's right. Which had plenty of room. It gave you plenty of room.